All right. Well, my name is Tim Lakes. I know some of you guys already because we've been, my wife Marilyn sitting right back there. She's my gift from God. Anywhere that Marilyn's at is where I want to be because that's the happiest place I can be, where my wife is. Marilyn has been the catalyst for us coming to the Bible study. In fact, one of her friends from Winsboro, who I don't think is here tonight, invited us to come, and that's how we found out about the Bible study. So, but what I'm going to be speaking about tonight, not for too awful long, is ties right into what Garrett was just telling us about somewhat, because that was a form of witnessing. And so I told Todd that I would speak on sharing our faith or witnessing. And I'm going to try to give you a couple of different thoughts and angles to think about that, realizing that we have lots of people here that have lots of experience of witnessing already, doing their own ministries and so forth. But my goal is that I'm going to plant at least one little seed that maybe you can take away from that, regardless to your experience. Any training that I've ever went to, I've always approached it like, let me receive something I don't know. So that's what we're hoping is going to take place. So as we share our faith, I wanted to start with a scripture here. Now, I've got scripture written down in my little notebook here to save some time. I'm going to start with Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and it says, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone, everywhere. So I want to start with a question for us all to think about. Remember, everything that I'm saying tonight is not directed towards you all. It's all of us. Okay, it's back at me also. So are we doing our best? Are we giving our best effort to witness about the love, mercy, and grace of Christ to all people at every opportunity? So maybe you stop and think, I don't really like all people. There's some that may be difficult and arrogant and rude, boisterous. Everybody here has some person or persons in their life that isn't really somebody that's fun to be around. There's a difference between love and like. Some people are hard to like. Has anybody in here besides my wife and myself ever watched any of the episodes of Little House on the Prairie?
Yep.
Okay. So, standing before you now is a former Marine, or always a Marine, who cries when he watches Little House on the Prairie. But if you've watched Little House on the Prairie and you know when the Ingalls got to go into town to the hardware to get their supplies, they go to this mercantile, they call it, and there's this lady there named Mrs. Olson. Anybody know who I'm talking about? She would be somebody that would be hard to like, wouldn't she? But you see, God has called us to love others. Not necessarily to like. Maybe somebody here today doesn't particularly like my hairstyle. It's really short. Isn't it funny how God can use different people? Short hair, long hair. He just spoke. Okay? But we all love Jesus, don't we? So, God called us to love. In John 13, verse 34, it says, so now I am giving you a new commandment. This is Jesus speaking. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Key word is love. The love of Christ will change us, won't it? Anybody ever been changed because they became to know Jesus? Of course we have. It changes us. And it changes us, if we'll let it, so that we will want and desire to share, now listen to this key part, the greatest news in the history of the world. Stop and think about that for a minute. Is it really? The greatest news in the history of the world is the gospel. So let's dig a little deeper on that. There are some challenges that prevent some of us from sharing Christ. Some just common things would be fear of rejection or speaking to people. Some people would be scared to death just to get up and talk in front of people. I just so happen to do that as part of my occupation, so I don't mind doing it. But it is a fearful thing for some people to speak. So you see somebody you want to go witness to and you're intimidated to talk to them. Also, another reason is feeling that we haven't gotten the ability, knowledge, and skills to do it. Because I can tell you right now, there's people, some are sitting here today, and Todd's not here, that have came up and spoke, and I don't have their knowledge, ability, and skills. But isn't it neat how God used people like fishermen and people that were herding sheep and all kind of stuff to bring His word about? See, we don't always have to have the same background. So, on this fear part of it, let me tell you this. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, "But God has not given us a spirit of fear." A lot of places in the Bible say that, don't they? "But of power and love and of sound mind." And on the part that I told you about not feeling like you have the ability, knowledge, or skills, let me tell you about somebody. Somebody in here is going to have heard of him already. Has anybody ever heard of the evangelist David Ring? Anybody? Here we go. Let me tell you about David Ring. Evangelist David Ring reminds us that God is not looking for our ability. We can't all get up here and deliver a message like Todd does and have the skills he has, or Lewis. He's looking for our availability. See, I was available. I can't do it as good as other people, but I'm available. I'm willing. I will go and tell somebody about Jesus if I get the chance. That's what he wants, our availability. But let me tell you a little bit more about David Ring. What's important about David Ring and what he said. You see, when David Ring said they're not looking for his ability, David Ring has cerebral palsy. Anybody know about cerebral palsy? David Ring walks like this, and he walks all the way up to preach, and he's preached at several thousand places all over the country. And here's what his testimony says. "I can't talk good," he'll say, "and I don't look like everybody else. But what are you, healthy-bodied man or woman, teenager? What are you doing for the kingdom of God?" And everybody's quiet. I've been to his message before, and you just can't hardly breathe. David Ring, you can find him on video. I suggest that you try to look him up. Now let's go on. Most of us have no fear to talk to people about good news. About what? Sports, hobbies, vacations, favorite restaurants, the weather. We do that pretty easy, don't we? Think about it. Some of the places y'all have been. Go to the grocery store. You walk down the grocery store line, there's somebody sitting there looking at something, and you say, "Oh, that'd make a really nice recipe right there. You just add this and this and this," and you don't even know them. Let me tell you about another pastor, Adrian Rogers. Anybody ever heard of Adrian Rogers? I see a few hands. He has a ministry called Love Worth Finding. You can find that out there on the internet. Adrian Rogers has been passed away for some number of years. He's one of my favorite pastors, preachers. I want to tell you a story that he told to his congregation. he was trying to tell them about witnessing and how they needed to share the gospel of Christ, and he was just urging his people, and it's so hard to get people to want to get out of that comfort zone and actually step out and go share with people. He wanted his people to do it. He had a big, gigantic church in Texas. And here's the story he told. He said that he went into a Walmart. Everybody been into a Walmart, and they see that sports section back there, that the fishing and the hunting. And I know me and Robert's been back there before. Help me, Robert. There you go. So Adrian Rogers had some reason to go to the sporting section. And he gets back there, and he sees these two men, one standing there looking at fishing supplies, and another man walks up and looks at the guy. You tell they didn't know each other. He said, the man says, "Hey, do you mind if I ask you a couple questions about fishing? I was getting ready to go do some bass fishing, and I don't know what kind of lures to use, and I don't know what test line, how weight of the line needs to be. I don't know if I got the right pole. I don't know if I got all these questions." Two people, never seen each other before. They felt comfortable, see, for him to ask a question about that. And Adrian Rogers looks at the congregation, and he says, two people don't know each other. They come back into the fishing section, and they're going to sit there and talk about fish. Will we talk about Jesus? I know there's a lot of people here that do. I hope there's one person here today that there's something I'm going to say that's going to encourage you to step out. Let me just give you all a brief part of brief. It's very brief, okay? I'm 67 years old. June of 1970, this is part of my testimony. I was saved at a vacation Bible school at 13 years old. Just as I am without one plea, I walked that aisle, couldn't feel my feet hitting the floor, gave my heart to Jesus. And he made a change in me, because when I went home that day from vacation Bible school, the neighborhood that we lived in, all of my friends were at our community lake area with a little beach. And they were all out there swimming and having a good time. And they saw me come and they go, "Hey man, where you been?" I didn't hesitate. I said, "I've been to vacation Bible school. I got saved." It started then. It was easy. Moving on from there, let's jump to high school. I wasn't like a straight A or straight B, maybe like a C, maybe some B's, average student. But I did play sports, three sports. And in sports, any of the younger people here know what I'm talking about, or even some of the older ones that can remember back. There's a lot of peer pressure. Let's go to the party, let's go to this, let's go to that, let's find this fun and all this stuff. And I stood firm. Was I perfect going through high school? Of course not. I stood firm and I stood my ground, and I didn't go to places that I thought were going to be inappropriate for me. Let's jump ahead from there. United States Marine Corps. I was nicknamed by a gunnery sergeant. A gunnery sergeant is the E7. Okay, they refer to them as gunny. I was nicknamed Preach. But let me tell you the reason why. I had just left Parris Island, South Carolina, and went out to Fort Bliss, Texas, which is an Army base, for my advanced training after leaving boot camp. So me and this about 20 other guys showed up for our training. We haven't met this new instructor yet, Gunny, from Texas, big everything, big head, big teeth, big eyes, looking through the glasses. He walks in there, and he begins to talk to us, and he says, "God's name in vain." Now, has anybody ever seen the movie Full Metal Jacket?
Yep.
Okay, some have, but if you haven't, don't worry, don't try to go look for it. It's about the Marine Corps, and it's got some pretty heavy, nasty stuff talking in it. But that's what it is in the Marine Corps. And I stood up and I said, "Sir, with all due respect, I ask you not to use God's name in vain towards me because I'm a Christian." And he said, "What did you say to the gunny?" So I repeated it. And he said, Are you saying that the gunny's going to go to hell? I said, sir, I just said, with all due respect, don't use God's name in vain when you speak to me. He left the room. Another sergeant came back, got me, and said, Gunny wants you in his office. I go into his office, and I thought, here we go. What's going to happen? Back in those days, they would hit you and beat you and all kind of stuff. And he asked me to repeat it, and I repeated it again. And he said, I want to tell you something. My grandparents raised me, and they took me to church. But I haven't been to church ever since I've been in the Marine Corps. But you had the guts to come in here and tell me, and he repeated it again, that the gunny was going to hell, even though I didn't say that. You're going to be my leader of this class. So I'm going to get off this topic real quick and just tell you this, how God blessed. 2 years later, I was still there. The training I was supposed to be there was just for a couple of months of training. He got me meritoriously promoted to corporal. That's an E4. Subsequently, not long after, meritoriously promoted to sergeant. That's an E5. And I became an instructor there at that location. All because I stood up for Jesus. I didn't know that was going to happen. I didn't do it for that reason. Do you understand? Sometimes you just make a stand and look, and God decides to bless you. Moving on with this testimony. Basically, the last 30 years of my life before I retired, I worked not too far from here. Some of y'all probably know about the VC Summer Nuclear Station. Okay? Unit 1 is still in existence. Unit 2 didn't get developed, for some of y'all that know about that. I worked there 30 years. Leaving the Marine Corps, I became a firearms instructor over there and trained the security officers what defends the plant from terrorism. During that time, as this testimony I want to share with you, that many employees, there's 1,000, many security officers, many vendors, all got to hear the word of Jesus, and not one single time in this corporate world that we live in, be careful what you say. Did anybody ever challenge the fact that I talked about Jesus? I was fearless, did it with boldness, but did it with tact and knew when to do it. So let me talk to you about witnessing at home. This is how I witness at home and how you can witness at home. Think about all the people that drive down your driveway to your house. Tradespeople, repairmen, plumbers, electricians, pest control, tree cutters, carpet layers, whatever else. You all know what I'm talking about. They all come there to do some kind of work, don't they? On the days they're coming, I get up that morning and I go, okay, I know it's on my appointment. Pest control's coming. Wonder if it's going to be the same guy. If it's not, it'll be a new guy. And I'll just say, Lord, if it's a way for me to get to share. And over the years, believe it or not, some of those people have actually sit in their truck as I'm talking to them before they leave and crying, saying, thank you so much for praying for me because me and my wife's having a really hard time. You can witness in lots of different ways. Almost finished with the testimony. Palmetto Trail. Anybody know where it's at? We live in, my wife and I live in Peak, South Carolina, about 7 miles away from here. There's a trail there called the Palmetto Trail. If you haven't been over there, it's really nice. Hikers, walkers, bikers, runners, all kind of people that do outdoor stuff, campers, are on the trail. Numerous times I've had the opportunity to speak to people. I'm giving you examples. This is what we can all do all the time. It doesn't take some special training to do it, okay? And then last but not least, for about the last 12, 13, 14 years or so, right across the street, like right over that way, any of y'all in Chapin know where I'm talking about, there's an assisted living home called Generations. Does anybody know where it is? Okay. Okay, so for 12 or so years, my wife and I have been going over there on Sunday morning, and all those people, now of course some of them come and go and they pass away and all that kind of stuff, but new ones come in. They can't get out and go to church. I didn't think God was going to use us to talk to those people, but He's using us to talk to those people. So we go in on Sunday morning, we get to share with them, and what a blessing it is. Okay, that's the end of the testimony, but I got a little bit more to go, so y'all hang with me, okay? So, a little more scripture. Remember what we're talking about here today. Keep our minds focused on what it is. Witnessing. What we're supposed to do and why we witness. Luke chapter 15, verses 4 through 7 says, suppose one of you had 100 sheep and loses one of them. Some of y'all recognize this. Doesn't he leave the 99 and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. All the more reason we want to share the gospel. They're rejoicing in heaven over that one. See, we're already saved. I pray that everybody here is. Psalm 91 talks to Christians and it says, tell us, it tells us there that God is our protector. He's our protection in the midst of danger. He's our shelter, a refuge when we are afraid. In Christ, we are saved eternally and secure. See, all of us that come into this protection area, we feel safe around each other. We're fellow Christians. We're not out there facing the world and the people that's hard to like that I told you about. We're in this protection zone in here. Now I want you to take that same shelter it talks about in Psalm 91. I want you to think about the tornado that came through Chapin. Some of y'all heard about that, right? Just like last week. And the storms and all the tornadoes that are hitting around the country. Think about a tornado shelter compared to the sheltering arms of God in Psalm 91. If we had a tornado shelter and a storm hit, what are we going to do? We're going to go down inside of it, aren't we? We're protected from danger there, but we care about those who are not in the shelter, right? We still care about the other people. They don't have a shelter. Just like we're Christians and we have a shelter from Jesus, we're saved, but the people outside don't have a shelter to get in. So what do we do about those with no shelter? We leave the shelter. We leave the tornado shelter, don't we? When the storm is over, we go out and we look for somebody that needs help. So as believers, then, do we stay in the shelter where it's safe and taking no risk, or do we take action? Do we care about people and where they spend eternity is the real question. We have to care enough to want to share it. We want to love, care, and have compassion so that we pray for guidance and boldness. We can engage in conversation with each other and other people, build relationships. We can share God's word through music, writing skills that somebody may have, social media, which would not be my strong point. We can show God's love through actions. Listen to some of these that you think you could do. Distribute literature, a community service, offer a helping hand, invite others to church events like we were invited to come to this. And other people here, everybody here probably, somebody told them about it, right? So you would know. That's how they were sharing. That's how they were witnessing. You can offer to pray for people. You can give sacrificially, like Lewis was saying. We need some donations back there to help Todd go to his trip that he's going overseas. So as I finish this out here in the next couple minutes, I want to tell you another story. In 1956, now I was born in 57, so I wasn't, but there's a few of you that I think might have been already alive, but maybe not old enough to remember this. In 1956, five young men, missionaries, and their wives and children went to the jungle of Ecuador to share the gospel of Christ with a feared primitive group called the Wadanis. Has anybody in here ever heard of or seen the movie called End of Spear? If you haven't, that's another thing I would like you to remember, jot down. It's worth watching. You can find it. End of Spear. That's what it's about. These missionaries go there. God had placed it on their heart to go and find the lost. Go, like Todd tells us about, go around the world, different places. They felt the need to go there. So they brought their wives and children, and they were some location outside where this primitive group was where it would be safe. But then they had a little small airplane, and they flew this little small airplane. The five missionary men landed on a sandy sandbar alongside of a river near where that group of Wadani tribe, the people that had never been reached by the outside world, they landed there. Before they went there, one of the little boy's son, you'll see it in the movie if you see it, he looks at his father and he says, "Dad, are you going to take your firearm with you in case the Wadanis try to attack you, since everybody's scared of them and they're like natives with spears and stuff?" He looked at his son, he says, "No, I can't bring my firearms because they don't know Jesus and we do." When they landed on the beach, they were speared to death. And you may think that's the end of the story, and you think, wow, you know. But here's what happened. Some of those wives wanted to carry out their husband's dream. It had to be a miracle. Somehow, some way, they went back sometime later, went to that tribe, spent enough time there to teach them English, help treat them medically, because they didn't have any supply. These people were living in the jungle. And they won them to Christ. It's amazing. You'd have to see the movie to believe it. So, in closing, I'll give you a few stories here, but kind of ending here, here's what I want to tell you. God doesn't call us all to witness in a primitive jungle to lost people. He may just call us to speak to somebody down the road or at the grocery store, or He leads each of us differently to different directions with different people. So maybe not in the primitive jungle, but He does call us to be fearless and bold, and to not just stay in this nice shelter that we're in. It's good to be in the shelter with you guys. I feel safe when I'm here. I don't feel like I'm going to be attacked. But He doesn't call us to stay in the shelter, just like the tornado shelter. He wants us to come out of it and go and share His love any way that we can to everyone we can. May God bless you all in a mighty way. It was an honor and a privilege, and I appreciate Lewis and Todd for giving me this opportunity. And my prayer is that at least one person here took something away from this that gives them just a little bit of an encouragement and a spark to think, you know, I never thought about that. I could talk to the plumber when he comes to my house. God bless you guys. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you.